Today's Shi'ez Masechta, Baba Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yizrarach on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph at the Mishnah towards the top of Amud. Torah Kedosha says that when somebody is taking a mashkin, when a malva is taking a mashkin from the loiva, says the Pasuk, Yisash Be'recha Mashas Mu'uma, when you're coming to take a mashkin from somebody else, Le'sova Abaisai Lavar Avaitai, you may not enter his house to take the mashkin. Rather, b'chutz tamid, you need to stand outdoors. And the person who owes you whatever he owes you should bring it to you outdoors. And that is the halacha of our Mishnah. But the Torah over there also teaches us another halacha. V'mish anihu. So one halacha we just learned is that we need to stand outdoors. We may not go indoors to the loiva's home to take the mashkin. And then the Torah Kaddish tells us, Vim ish anihu, loy sishka bavaitai, if the person from whom you took the mashkin is poor, you may not stay in his mashkin. Hashav tashav loy sa'avid, kiva shemesh, every evening you have to return the mashkin, v'shacha b'simlosai, if you took something that he uses at night, he'll be able to have it, v'racha, or v'rechacha, like that, you will be blessed. So says the Mishnah Malvas Chaveroi, if somebody lent money to someone else, and the way Rashi explains, the Mishnah is referring to a situation that now the time for paying came, and the Mishnah and the person who owes you the money did not pay you, and now the Mishnah is discussing what can you do in order to extract payment. That is the opinion of Rashi. The opinion of Rabbeinu Tam is that the Mishnah is not referring to a situation where you're taking the mashkin to receive payment, but rather you're taking the mashkin because you're concerned that the person who owes you the money is not going to be paying, is not ready to pay you. And therefore, the mashkin is being taken to guarantee that you're going to be paid. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, if the mashkin is being taken as a form of payment, the halachas of our Mishnah would not apply. So again, we have this fundamental machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. It says the Mishnah Mavas Chaveroi, if somebody is lent money to someone else and now he wants to take a mashkin, lo yemashkimenu, he shouldn't take the mashkin himself, ella bezdin. He should only do it through a shliach bezdin. And moreover, point out the Rishonim, not only can he only do this through a shliach bezdin, but the shliach bezdin also has to have express permission from the bezdin to be able to take the mashkin. Yerushalmi explains that the reason for this halacha is because, as we're going to learn, the loiva under normal circumstances is going to take out the pachash b'kelim, the least valuable of his kelim, and therefore, if you're going to go into the house directly, there's a concern that you're going to take better than that, and the halacha is that one may not do so. The Sefer Chinuch gives another reason, because we're concerned that under normal circumstances, we can assume that the malva is in a stronger position than the loiva. And the malva, if he enters the home of the loiva, will take advantage of his strong position and take from the loiva what he's not entitled to. And the loiva will not be able to stand up to him because he's afraid of him. So in order that that imbalance should be addressed, the Torah says you have to through Bezdin. And only with a shliach bezdin, and we'll even learn the limitations of the shliach bezdin. Many Rishonim ask that we learned the Masechta Baba Kama Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis of it in a shtina lenafshei. Person may, in the certain circumstances, take the law into his own hands. So why in our Mishnah, where this person owes me money, may I not take the law into my own hands and take the mashkin, take payment that I deserve? Says the Nemukah Yosef, The halacha of Ovid Dina L'Nafshe, Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshe, is only when I'm going to take back something which belongs to me. In the case of the Mashkin, in the case of our Mishnah, we're not speaking about a situation where I'm taking back something that belongs to me. It's not my object that I'm taking. I'm taking something that belongs to the loiva that I want to get. And therefore, we don't say the halacha of a dinish lenafshe. Particular, he explains, according to the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that we just quoted, that Rabbeinu Tam said that the mashkin that's taken in our Mishnah is not really being taken for payment. The mashkin that's being taken in our Mishnah is being taken just to guarantee that he won't be able to claim that this is something, that the loan is not valid anymore. So certainly, you don't say Ovedinish Dinil Nafshe under those circumstances. Says the Mishnah, and even the Shliach Bezdin, that we just limited, that I only could use a Shliach Bezdin to get the mashkin, says the Mishnah, Lo'ikonis Lebeisoi, Little Meshkonai, may not enter his home to take the mashkin. The Rishash, quoted by the Chavis Chesed, says that he may not go into the home, but he may go into his chotzer, he may go into his barn. And he explains it because the Gemara Masech the Yuma, Daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph, explains that there's a special limud that these places are chayiv and mezuzah because the Torah says b'sharecha. Otherwise, says the Rishash, the word bayis only means the actual home. And since bayis only means the actual home, so anywhere else he may go into. The Orcha Shulchan seems to disagree, and the Orcha Shulchan says that you may not, anywhere which is part of the place where he lives, the Shliach Bezin may not go. Again, Shenemar, why is that the halacha? Because the Torah says, b'chutz tamid. So ask the Rosh, the halacha, the Gemara Masech, the Iksubis, the Peivav, Oman Alev teaches us, is that Prius Chayiv Mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to pay off your debts. And we also learned that Kaifin ala mitzvahs, we force a person to fulfill his mitzvahs. So how, if we're being so strict in not allowing, as the Rosh, to let the Shliach Bezin enter the home, how do we reconcile this with the concept of Kaifin ala mitzvahs, that we force a person to fulfill a mitzvah? So he says, according to the binyan of Rabbeinu Tam, that the purpose of entering this person's home in our Mishnah is not because the goal is to get repaid. Because if the goal were to get repaid, then he explains, we could say, there's a mitzvah to play, and therefore you have the right to do whatever you have to do to get paid. But Rabbeinu Tam says that the entire purpose of getting the mashkin is just to have a proof that the money is owed. So there we could understand why you have no right to force him. But if the point is that you're going in to get paid, like Rashi says, so why are we being so limited? Says the Gemara, says the Rosh, that there are two separate concepts here. One is what and how may the malva receive a mashkin. But the halacha that the loiva has an obligation to pay what he owes, that is not the subject of our Mishnah. And certainly we have a right, Bezin has a right to do whatever is necessary to get them paid. The Nemuki Yosef also discusses what's going to be the halacha when it's just a person who has the financial ability to pay and he just doesn't want to pay. Will there be a halacha that you may go into his home to extract payment? So he quotes a Tshuva Sarif that a Bezdin indeed determines that this loiva has the ability to pay and he just doesn't want to pay. Not only may you enter his home to get payment, we could even use a shliach that's an akum, that some even a non-Jewish shliach. However, the Sefer Truma says that one should be careful not to do this only under dire circumstances. Because at the end of the day, the way we're learning the Pasuk is being very strict in entering the loiva's home. And only in a situation where it's being done k'delasa siyog l'toyra, where we see that the person is just abusing the Besdin system, abusing the halacha, and under those circumstances we could do what we have to do, otherwise we should avoid doing so. So the Mishnah is saying that the halacha is the one that the shliach Besdin may not enter his home, but he only could take from a mashkin in the outdoors. The Rishonim also point out that while that there's a girsa in our Mishnah, that not only may you go in, may you not go in, but there is a girsa that if you did, if the Shlich Besdin did what he wasn't supposed to do when he went in, he has to return the mashkin. Says the Mishnah. So in a situation where a mashkin was obtained, if the loiva had two kalim by the malva, shnoytel echad u'menich echad. The malva could take the one that the loiva doesn't need, and he leaves the one that the loiva does need to his use, and then they switch. And explains the Mishnah, machzer es hakar b'layla. You return to his bedding at night. I did see that the Sefer HaYosher says that when the Mishnah speaks about bedding, it doesn't speak about his actual linen, because a person may need to lay down by day. We're talking about things that he has at home but aren't absolutely necessary all the time. As machrisha, or he returns the plow by day. The Rishonim point out that when, even though we're being very strict and not allowing the malva to enter the loiva's home, but when he's going in to return the mashkin that the Torah says he has to, given the circumstances, then he may enter the home to return the mashkin. The Mishnah said that you return his plow by day. So the Rishonim asked that the halacha is that anything which is oichel nefesh, anything that the loiva uses for his basic needs, the halacha is you're not allowed to take as a mashkin. As the Torah Kedoshah says, and we're going to discuss this, lo yachbol rechaim v'rechev ki nefesh u'chayav. Don't take what he uses to mill the flour. Anything that he absolutely needs for survival, you're not allowed to take. And here we're learning that he could take the machresha. So there are many different explanations given by the Rishonim. The Baal Amar explains that a malva is not allowed, the malva, the Shlich Besdin, may not take something which is a keli for Eichel Nefesh. Our Mishnah is speaking about a case where the loiva himself volunteered the machresha. That's the Baal Amar's teretz. The Rashba says that the Mishnah is speaking about a case where the person, the malva, took something which he shouldn't have taken. But the halacha is teaching us, the Mishnah is teaching us, that even though you took something which you shouldn't have taken, that doesn't exempt you from this halacha. The Rashba gives another teretz. The Mishnah, even though things that are used for oichel nefesh may not be taken, that's only when these tools are actually being used for that purpose. But let's say it's the season of the year, or it's not used that much, so then it can be taken. And another teretz that I saw, which we're going to see in the Gemara, the definition of the machresha of our Mishnah is not a plow, but rather the definition of machresha in our Mishnah is a back scratcher, and that's not something which is used for oichel nefesh. Tosfos says that oichel nefesh is a keli for oichel nefesh means something which is actually used to prepare food. Even though a plow obviously is a very essential tool, but it's not actually used for preparation of food. V'meis, but if the loiva dies, ain't a machs liyoshev. The halacha that you have to return the mashkin to the loiva is only to the loiva himself, as the pasuk says, hoshev toshev loy. The halacha is that you have to return it to the loiv himself, but not to his yorshim. Rav Shimon Gamliel Aimer, af la'atzmai ena machzer, even when the halacha, as we just discussed, is that you have to return it to the loiva, it's ela ad shloishim yoim. It's only up to 30 days from when you took the mashkin. However, mishloishim yoim ulahalan, when it goes past 30 days, mechem bebezdan, the halacha is that you could sell them to the, you have to with the under the supervision of Bezdin that could be sold. Amishmul says Gemara, even though Amishmul is teaching us that we're only limiting to a shliach Bezdin, shliach Bezdin menatech netuke, he could take from the loiva what he's carrying outdoors. Ava mashkune, that's what a shliach Bezdin may do. Ava mashkune, to enter his home and take a mashkin, loy, a shliach Bezdin may not. Ask the Gemara, Vatanan, didn't the Mishnah say, Hamamas Chaveiro le Mishkan el Abba Bezdin, Mechlal, doesn't it seem to mean, Mamash Bezdin, that if you have a Shliach Bezdin, you could do whatever you need to do, even entering the home, Mamashkanan. Amma, says the Gemara, Amlach Shmuel, so Shmuel is going to explain that the way to understand the Mishnah is, Ema le Yenetchena el Abba Bezdin, that the Malva cannot take anything from the loiva and under any circumstances, even outdoor. And the shliach bezdin that we are being more lenient with, they only could do so in and outside of bezdin, but not inside the bezdin. And as the Miri explains, that the loiva, that the shliach bezdin could stand outside, and the loiva brings out the mashkin to him. And the Miri says, whereas the malva himself, but the shliach bezdin, explains the Miri, if he finds this person in the street, could be more lean, could be stricter with him. The malva can never be that strict. Why is the Torah so strict about not entering his home? So Yushami explains, as we said earlier, because we want to give the loiva the opportunity to take out the most least valuable into his house. The Ramah says, not only may they not enter his home to take the mashkin, but the Ramah says that one may not enter the home to take inventory of what the loiva has. The Sma and the Gra both explain that the Torah HaKadosh is teaching us that under no circumstances may you go into the home of the loiva. The Avos Chesed says, however, if the loiva invites them into the home, then the halacha is they may go in. But even when the loiva invites them in, says the Avos Chesed, they could go and the loiva will give them whatever he wants to give as a mashkin. But they may not use that as an opportunity to... They should say, well, why don't you give us this for a mashkin and give us that for a mashkin? That they may not do. The Torah Tamima adds another dimension. The Torah Tamima adds that we're also concerned about the family members of the loiva, that they shouldn't have to suffer as the smalva and the shlich bezin are coming into the home. According to the Torah Tamima's interpretation, it could be that even if the loiva invites them in, even if the loiva invites them in, it may well be that you're not allowed to go in. Because even if the loiva is not concerned, but now we're learning there's another consideration. And that's the consideration about the family members of the loiva. And therefore, it could be, according to Torah Tamima, will be very, very limited under which circumstances, if there are any, that the malva or the shliach bezdin may go in. Says the Gemara, Hachanami Mastabra, and make the opinion of Shmuel, the way Shmuel's been explaining our Mishnah makes sense. The Ketani Sefer, what do we learn in the Sefer and Mishnah? Le'ikonis lebeisoi litol mashkanai. You may not enter the home to take the mashkin. And now we need to understand Miani. Who is the person that may not enter the home? Elaim, if we're going to say that the Mishnah is speaking about the Baal Choyv, the Malva himself, so as points out the Gemara Mereisha Shminina, we could have learned that from the ratio that the malva has to be strict. Because the Mishnah said in the ratio, loy meshkenu el bebezdin. Elav, who are we speaking about? The shliach bezdin. Says the Gemara, im miha mishamha, If that's the proof to your opinion, says the Gemara Lo Iria, that isn't compelling. Dach kamar. This is the way we could understand the Mishnah. Hamavas chaveroi lo mishkan el bebezdin. If you're taking a mashkin, it may be done on bezdin. Mechlal, the bezdin, the mashkinin. The bezdin may take a mashkin. And furthermore, about choif, when we speak about the actual malva, afilu netochi namiloi, he's not allowed to take a mashkin even in the street. The reason is because we're concerned that if you're going to take in the street, you may end up going into the, you may go into the home. And because we're worried about that once you're taking, you may take it a step further and you may go into the home. And if you go into the home, you'll be under, you'll be over a lav. There's machloikis rishonim. Would you be over a lav the raisa? Or just the Rabbanan. The opinion of Tosfos is that it's a lav d'oraisa, and he says our Mishnah makes a lot of sense. The Gemara makes a lot of sense, given that it's a lav d'oraisa. So Chazal were concerned that a person should not come to be over the lav d'oraisa. That's why they can't even like take in the street. The other Rishonim disagree, and they say because the Malv is so anxious, we're worried that he's going to abuse his position. Masa Rabbi Yosef asks Rabbi Yosef on the opinion of Shmuel. As we quoted earlier, the Torah says, Lo yachpol rechayim v'rechev. The malva may not take from the loiva something that is used to mill the flour. Rechayim v'rechev are the two parts. The upper stone, and the upper stone is called the rechev, and the bottom stone is called the rechayim. And when they rub these stones against each other, they put the grain in between, and that's how you have flour. Hadvar mechayrim, it seems. Anything else, you may, chavoyl. Then the Torah says, Lesachba beged alvona, you're not allowed to take the beged of almona. Hoshal chayrim, but something that belongs to someone else, the loiva is not an almona, chavoyl, then you would be allowed to take. So ask the Marman, who is the Torah speaking to? Inema Balchoiv, if we're going to say the Torah speaking to the Balchoiv, to the Malva, Haksiv, but we've been learning the Torah Akdosha says to the Malva, Leisova Abesoi, Lavit Avaitoi, you're not allowed to go into his house under any circumstances. Lav, the Torah speaking about the Shlich Bezdin, and the Torah is teaching us that the Shlich Bezdin can't take the Rechaim Verechev, the Shirchaim can't take the Beged Amona, but anything else, seemingly, the Shliach Bezdin may take, even if it involves entering the home of the Loiva. Answers the Gemara Tigmar, Rapapa Raider of Nachman, Kamedra of Yosef, Vamale Rapapa Raider of Yosef, Kamedra of Yosef, Loilam Balchoiv. These psukim are speaking to the Balchoiv. We learned that the Balchoiv may not go in anyway under any circumstances. Answers the Gemara, the Torah is saying that there's a not lavala b'shnei lavim. There's a general lav that the malva may not enter the home of the loiva to take a mashkin. And then the Torah also says that if he's going to take the rechayim v'rechev, which is such an essential a piece of equipment that the loiva needs, or if the loiva is an almana, then there's another lav he'll be over. Tashma. So the Gemara asks another question on the opinion of Shmuel from this braisa. The braisa says, "V'mashu shenam b'chutz tamad." The Torah says that the person should stand outdoor. Any idea, so it's obvious, she'isha she'tanoish by the loiva, yoitzi is going to take it out to you. Elamata maloim of isha she'tanoish by yoitzi alecha chutza, the rabbis shliach bezdin. The Torah is thinking about a shliach bezdin. And the Gemara is assuming that what does the braisa mean to teach us? My love, shliach bezdin kaloiva. That just like the loiva may enter his home, obviously, so too the Shlich Bezdin. And the Torah is saying, B'chutz tamoid, you the malva may not enter the home, you have to stand outside. The Ish and the Shlich Bezdin, asher noit atanoshabai, the Shlich Bezdin will go into the home to take from the loiva the mashkin that's owned to you. Says the Gemara loy. The assumption was that we treat the Shlich Bezdin like the loiva. Says the Gemara loy. The way to learn the pasuk is that the shliach bezdin is treated like the malva. Tashma. The pasuk says, "Im chavol tachpol salmos reyecha ad ba hashemesh tishiven eloi." Says the Gemara, "Shlich bezdan kosu bedaber." The Torah is speaking about the shlich bezdan. Says the Gemara, "Ta'im b'shlich bezdan kosu bedaber." Is the pasuk speaking about the shlich bezdan? Maybe the Torah is saying, speaking to the Baal Chayv. Kishu Omer, when the Torah says, Lesova abeisei lavar avaitai, hare Baal Chayv Omer. The Torah already speaks to the Baal Chayv. Haman kayim in chobol tachva salmos reyecha, that you're allowed to take a mashkin from the loiva's home. B'shleich bezdin akos medaber. And isn't the Torah telling us that the shleich bezdin may enter the home of the loiva to get the mashkin? Not like Shmuel has been teaching us. So therefore, says the Gemara, indeed, Tanoihi, this question, if the Shliach Bezdin may enter the home of the Loiva, is Machloikus Tanoim. The Tanya, Shliach Bezdin Shabal Lamashkinai, if the Shliach Bezdin is coming to take a Mashkin, Lo Yikonis Lebeso Lamashkinai, he may not enter the home, Eloim Bechutz, he stands outdoors, Vala Moitzeloi Mashkin, and the Loiva gives him the Mashkin as he's standing outside. Shnemar, Bechutz, Tamad v'ish. The Ish is speaking to Shliach Bezdin. And he has the same halacha as the Malva, that just like the Malva may not enter the home of the Loiva, so may the Shliach Bezdin not enter the home of the Loiva. The Tanya Idach, but there's another braisa that says, Balchayv Shabal Lamashkinai, Loikonis Lebeis Lamashkinai, the Balchayv may not enter the home, Elohim Bechutz, Vala Nichnas Amoitz Lamashkinai, the loiva enters and takes and gives him the mashkin. Shnei bechutz tamid. The shliach bezdin, however, shliach bezdin shabal lamashkinai harez and nichnas lebeisai. According to this brisa, the shliach bezdin may enter the home with mashkinai and to take the mashkin. And this clearly is not like Shmuel's opinion. The brisa said the loig mashkin dvarim shoyis memoichal nefesh, that even when the mashkin is being taken, You may not use Eichel Nefesh. And as we said, there's a Machloikus Rishonim. If that was violated, must it be corrected? Says the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us another halakha. For Noisim Mita Umita, that the Shlich Bezdin is only allowed to take what he needs to take, but he leaves for him Mita Umita. The Gemara will explain why you leave two beds, umatzah is a sheet, la'asher, that wealthy people, there normally slept on nice, soft sheets, mita umapitz, that's a bed made out of sticks to sleep on, for oni. That means a straw bed, that was the type of mattress that poor people used, avol loy, we have to leave that for the loiva himself. Avloy leishtoy avloy lebarav lebnoisav. We don't have to be concerned for the family members. Kederach, where do we have a precedent for this? Kederach shemesadron lebalchoyv. Just like the halacha is that we have to have all of these considerations in mind for the loiva. Kach mesadron be'erchin. We have the similar halacha be'erchin. The Tarak Doisha says that there's a parasha of Erchin. And the parasha of Erchin, which is stated at the end of parasha of Chukaisai, says that every person, based on their age and their gender, has a predetermined value. We don't look at the actual value of that individual. The Torah identifies a value for every person based on their age and their gender. The Gemara Masechta Erchin, Daf Chav Gimel Amabeis, teaches us that if the person who obligated himself to give an erich, and you can give an erich of your own value, or you can give an erich of somebody else, we don't take everything from him. Because the Parah Doisha says, v'mochu me'erkecha, v'moch, if the person is poor, and he can't afford to give what he's obligated to give, hu me'erkecha, we leave him with who, that he should stay in a position that he has what he needs. But because the pasuk used the word who, we learn from that pasuk who, that this halacha that we leave for the person what he needs is only that person himself, not for the rest of the family. The Nebuka Yosef quotes the Rosh that if the wife took what, so we're not concerned about the family members, and says the Nebuka Yosef, quoting the Rif, so far that if the wife seized money, that she should have what to live, even though the person is obligated with a ksuba to support his wife, the erech comes first, because he explains that the obligation to support a wife is only with the rabbanim, but the obligation, whether it's the case of erechin or the case of a malvin, our mishnah is midaraisa. The halacha is they take precedent. The erech or the baal chayiv take precedence over the wife's support. The Beis Yosef has a different explanation. He says that the obligation of a husband to support his wife is limited to when he has the ability to support his wife. And that obligation is not there if he can't afford. The Lecha Mishnah says that according to the Rambam, the obligation of a husband to support a wife is midraisa. But he says that this halacha, that by erechin we don't do so, is a gzeres akosef. And now he says that our Gemara, who is connecting the halacha of the Baal Chayiv and erechin, is saying that since that's the halacha by erechin, that also will be the halacha Baal Chayiv. Ask the Gemara, the Klapilaya. So it seems that we're learning, when we just read the words of the Gemara, it seems we were learning the halachas of erechin from Baal Chayiv. But ask the Gemara, ikasidah be'erechin ksiv, the halacha that we, what we do or what we don't do, actually stayed in the Torah be'erechin, and we're trying to learn the halacha Baal Chayiv from erechin, not vice versa. Eleima, says the Gemara, what you have to say in our Gemara is that indeed, kederech shemasadim be'erechin, just like the Torah teaches us that there's certain what is and what isn't done by erechin, the same halachas will apply, kach mesadrin baal chayiv, same thing baal chayiv. And there are different halachas. For example, the halacha is that we leave for him the tools that he needs for his profession. We leave for him his tefillin, because a person has to have tefillin to daven. There are Rishonim that debate how are the halachas of erechin and Baal Chayiv exactly identical. That seems to be the Poshto Pshat. That's the Pshat that we're learning with. The Rishonim that say they're not necessarily exactly identical. Omamar. So now the Gemara delves back into that Braisa. The Braisa said, Noisa mito mita, matza la'oshir, mito mita, u'mapetz lani. Laman, who are we leaving two beds for? Ilema, if we're saying that we're leaving the other bed, lishto l'bana l'b'noisov, ask the Gemara ha'amrit, we just learned, loy avaloy leishto lebana lebnaisov el idi lede. Both beds that are being left for are for the loyva himself. So the question is tarta lamali. Why does he need two beds? Answers the Gemara chadad achala. They used to sit on the couch and eat. So one bed is the bed that they sat on to eat. The chadad zagala, and the other bed is that he sleeps on. Kadam Shmuel. The Shmuel said, Shmuel, v'chol mili yidayas say. Shmuel was a famous doctor. As the Gemara we learned earlier on that Pehei Amabei said, Shmuel Yerchana Asid Rebbe Hava. Shmuel was the personal doctor of Rebbe. And he says, I know how to heal all diseases. L'vam mahani t'las, except these three. Man da'ochal ahina mariri, a labor rekonim. Somebody who eats dates that are not ripe on an empty stomach. Man da osa mista de kitna retiva chartzei. Somebody who uses as a belt a moist piece of linen. Man da ochel mahama, and somebody eats bread v'le masik arba gamidi, and doesn't walk four amis from between eating and sleeping. And that's why he explains that they had two separate beds, one bed to sleep on and one bed to eat on, and those two beds were distanced by four amos. The purpose of distancing the two beds by four amos was to make sure that the person will walk. And I saw that Sefer Chashuki Chemed says, what is the halacha b'zman hazeh? If you have a person who is unable to walk, is there halacha that we shouldn't feed him bread? Or so that, because we know he won't be able to walk after he eats the bread? Or does this halacha not apply b'zman hazeh? He quotes the Shailos HaTshuva Silmas Chaim from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld Zatzal, Chelek Beis Simen Kuf Yodes, and he says that these kind of questions, he says, should not be asked to Rabbonim. These kind of questions should be asked to doctors, because the doctor will tell us what is the situation of the patient, and the doctor will tell us if these different issues that are brought up in Gemara apply b'zman hazeh. Says the Gemara, Tana Tana, Kamed Rav Nachman, the Tana taught us, just like we're concerned about the Be'erchin, we're concerned by Balchayv. Omlei, Hashta, says the Gemara, Zvuni, Zvinilei. The halacha is, we learned in our Mishnah, that you're allowed to sell his equipment, Sidurim, Sadrinilei, so why would we leave him what he needs? Ask the Gemara, Omei, Mezminilei. Is that true that we sell the kalim of the loiva? For Tanan, ask the Gemara, haven't we learned Machsas Akabalai of Samachrishin Beyoim? Answers the Gemara, Tana, says the Gemara, the Tana that taught this halacha to Rav Nachman, Krim Shemil Gamliel Tana Kamei. He was teaching it following the opinion of Shem Gamliel. Fach Kamalein, this is the way to understand what he said. Shem Gamliel, the coin of Shimon Gamaliel will allow to sell the mashkin. So the question is, we're allowed to sell him Sidurim Sadrinalei. The Tanan, because then we just learn in our Mishnah of Shimon Gamaliel Omer Afla Atzmai Eina Machzer. We don't return the mashkin to the loiva Ela Atzlo Shmiyim, only up to 30 days. The Kaveh Eloch the Loch is Meicher Mebezdin. Says the Gemara. Mamai explains the Gemara. Who says the key comment of Shimon Gamaliel? That when the Mishnah said, Mikan ve'eluch moichar mebezdin, Rav Shimon Gamaliel meant, the Zvuni legamri comer, that you're allowed to sell it, that to be able to repay the loan, says the Gemara, d'mach comer. What Rav Shimon Gamaliel meant to say, asked the Gemara, is shad achlo shimyoim, for the first 30 days that you took the mashkin, hadalei be'ene, you return the mashkin every evening, every morning. Mikan ve'eluch, afterwards, Mahadalei Madachazalei, whatever he absolutely needs, you return. Umazbinin, but you're allowed to sell Mahadalei Chazalei. Says the Gemara, if that's the way you're going to understand what Rav Shimon Gamaliel means, Isal Kedatach Isle Rav Shimon Gamaliel Hai Svara, Lakamida Delechazalei. How will we ever be able to identify something that the loiva doesn't need? Because, especially, says the Gemara, Dama Baya, Baya teaches us, that Rav Shimon Gamaliel is the one, Shimon Gamaliel, Rav Shimon, Rav Shmuel, Rav Kiva, Kulos Firle, Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim Heim, and there's everything they need. The Rav Shimon Gamaliel, where do we see Rav Shimon Gamaliel says the Tanan? The Mishnah in Masech the Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chavav Mebeis, discusses what is considered Muksa on Shabbos. And one of the things the Mishnah says is that you're not allowed to move Luf, it's a type of bean that could only be eaten when it's raw. Well, it can only be eaten cooked. So if it's raw on Shabbos, it's presumably muksa. V'loy asachado, because you can't grind it on Shabbos. Shem Gamaliel Matir, Neshumachal Arvin. It's a food that's given to ravens. And since it's a food that's given to ravens, we could understand that every Jewish person is going to be raising all types of birds, just like the wealthy people would do. Rav Shimon, the Tanan. The Mishnah says there the various things that may not be done on Shabbos. Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. They're considered refuah. And the halacha is one may not do refuah on Shabbos. And one of the things that it says is that you're not allowed to shmear rose oil because it's very expensive. B'nai Melochim, says the Mishnah, Sochen Shem Vereda Gab Mesem Shabbos. But wealthy people do use rose oil. Shekein Dak Losu B'chol, because that's something they do all the time. So it's not considered an act of refuah. The Shimon Omer, Kabbanei Sub Malachim Haim, and every Jew could use rose oil. Somebody owes somebody else 1,000 zuz. And he's wearing a very expensive coat. We take it off. We buy him a cheaper coat, and the difference is used to pay off his debts. The Tanam Shem Rabbi Shmuel, the Tanam Shem Rabbi Kiva, Koyso Ruin Lotzla. Every Jew is worthy of wearing an expensive coat. Says the Gemara, "Umay Disalka Dat Makara." What we explained at the beginning, the Yavle May the Chazalei. We leave with the Leiva what he needs. And we sell what he doesn't need. Bishlama, Karvakesis, when we speak about the bedding, Chazalei, the Beni Abeni. He doesn't have to have such expensive linen. Ela Machrisha, when we speak about the plow, Lamai Chazia, you can't say I'll buy a cheaper plow and take the more expensive plow. Says the Gemara, Amar Ababa, Machrisha the Kaspa. Our Mishnah, when it speaks about the plow, is not speaking about a plow. It's speaking about a back scratcher. And he had a silver back scratcher, and we tell him to sell the silver one and use a plain one. Masler Chaba, Vilemalei, why we do this? Why can't the Malva say Alav Alai Karamas? The fact that you need these things should not be my problem. And why should I have to suffer because you need to live this lifestyle? Amale Abaya Ivra Allah Karami. It is the Malva's responsibility. Shum Shanemar, the Pasuk says that when you return the Mashkin, L'chot Tiet Stoka, the Torah is giving us an obligation to do what we have to do. What does it mean we have to do what we have to do? We have to give the Malva what he needs to have. And that's, the Torah is saying that that's the tzedakah that you're obligated to give. There's a very famous story with the Emre Emes, that there was a person who was living in an apartment in the city of Lodz. It was a Gerach Chassid, and he hadn't paid rent for many months. And the landlord evicted him. The chassidim came and told the Rebbe what had just happened, that one of the chassidim had evicted another one of the chassidim. And the Rebbe asked to see this landlord. And he asked, so the landlord came to see him. And the Rebbe said to him, how did you evict one of your friends you davened in the same shul? He said he hadn't paid rent in many months. He says, still, how do you evict a person and leave him in the street? He says, why do I have to carry that whole load? So the Ger Rebbe said, the Gemara says in Masech Gittin that somebody is a chetzi eved chetzi ben chayrim. Lisa Shifka Neyofko, he's 50% eved Kanani and he's a 50% free person. The Gemara says, Lisa Shifka Neyofko, he can't marry a Shifka because he's a half free. He can't marry a regular Jewish woman because he's half Eved. What should he do? Chayfinis Rabbi, the owner has to free him, and he owes him the value. So said the Ger Rebbe, the Miriamis, why should this person who owns 50% of this Eved suffer more than anyone else? The answer is, because sometimes, as Al Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us into certain places that we should do what we have to do, even though, and it's our opportunity to do the mitzvah, not someone else's opportunity. And here too, it's your opportunity to help this person who can't afford the rent, and that's what you should do. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, when he was told this story, said, he certainly agreed with the Ger Rebbe, but he said, I would have used our Gemara. Our Gemara says that the Malva has to be concerned about the Loiva. Why does the Malva have to be concerned about the Loiva? Because L'chati Yitzdaka, the Torah says it's your opportunity. And since if it's your opportunity that you have to do what you could do and not say, well, let somebody else do it. And there's a similar story with the Chazon Ish, where there was a poor person who rented an apartment and he couldn't afford to pay the rent. So he had to find another apartment. And he asked the landlord to give him an extension. And the landlord said, no extension. They came to the Chazon Ish, this poor person came to Chazon Ish to ask what to do. And the Chazon Ish said he should leave the apartment. And even if it means being in the street. And the poor person did this. And the Chazon Ish gave this person that he should have a shiris. And what happened was that this person who couldn't afford the rent at the end became a very wealthy person. So the way I understand is there's two perspectives here. On one hand, there's the perspective of the landlord. The landlord, as the Imre Emes teaches us, was given opportunity to do a mitzvah. When the landlord is given an opportunity to do a mitzvah, he should take advantage and do the mitzvah and shouldn't say, well, I don't have to do the mitzvah myself. On the other hand, the poor person, whether it's the loiva or the tenant, should not take advantage of this situation and recognize that he can't make himself a burden on someone else unless it's absolutely, absolutely necessary. And if he doesn't, as the Chazon Ish says, if you don't make yourself a burden on others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will carry your burden and make you wealthy.